You enjoying the Lord today?
Yes.
Me too. It's wonderful. He's wonderful. Lord, we just thank you so much. Thank you for blessing us so much. Thank you for your righteousness and peace and joy. Thank you, Lord, for filling our lives with all of your goodness. Hallelujah. Whatever your need is today, He's the answer. He's still the answer. He's always going to be the answer. Amen. Don't look to the government. Look to Him. Don't trust the government. Don't trust your employer. Don't trust man, but trust Him. And God wants you to learn to trust Him. Well, I believe I have a word from the Lord today.
Amen.
You know, it's one of them you just feel it in your bones. It's like fire. But Lord, Holy Spirit, I ask you to help me and help us to receive what you're saying today. Open our understanding today in Jesus' name. It has to do with hunger. Developing a hunger for God. Do you know that hunger is something that needs to be developed? If you've walked with the Lord for any amount of time, you'll realize that everything is just not automatic. Everything that we're required to do isn't something necessarily that we even feel like doing. But it doesn't change the fact that we are called to be obedient in season, out of season, whether it feels good or not. Before you and I can be developed and to be strengthened with might in the inward parts, amen, where it really matters, to be built up in your spirit, you've got to have a hunger. If you're not hungry, you won't eat. There are many Christians who don't eat because they're not hungry. And we're going to talk about it this morning because it's so vitally important that we develop a hunger for the things of God, which ultimately means that I have a hunger for Him. Because some people are simply looking after and chasing after the things of God, but somehow He gets lost in that process. We miss Him. We can be doing all kinds of good things for God, but miss God Himself. We can be working for God, but not be walking with God. So the key here is to hear His voice. And the Lord calls us sometimes to seasons of fasting and prayer, because we're going to talk about it, but it's sometimes what's necessary for us to get reoriented and get clarity back and to get hunger back for Him who truly satisfies. Because the world can very quickly fill us up and leave us empty. And if we're filled up on the world, we're not going to have a hunger for Him. So if I'm not hungry for Him, I have to ask the question, why is that? If you're not hungry, you won't eat, right? Pretty simple. If you don't eat, you will starve. And if you starve long enough, you will die. If you starve long enough, you'll die. Now, junk food is often called filler food. Have you ever heard that term, filler food? It makes you feel full, but it doesn't properly nourish your body. And it gives us a false sense of satisfaction. You know, I'm guilty of having to run by through the drive-thru because I'm in a hurry and I don't have time, you know, to prepare anything, or, you know, so we are quick. We want something right away and we run to, and I'm not anti-McDonald's today, so don't run out of here saying he was slamming McDonald's, but how many know that if you continue to fill up on junk food, at first you may feel okay. It tastes good. It'll give you some sense of satisfaction, but eventually if you continue to eat that stuff over and over again, you're going to start getting sick. It will catch up to you. That's the world, isn't it? The world will offer you cheap counterfeits. It'll offer you something that's not really good for you, but it fills you up. And it gives you a false sense of satisfaction. So you can go for a season on what's false and feel like this is working. If we neglect our spiritual life and fill ourselves with the wrong things, again, we may feel full, but we will lack true spiritual health. And so we've got to be very cautious about this very thing, that if I don't have a hunger for God and for the things of God, then the world is going to fill me. Because everyone is a worshiper. Man was created to worship. And so you're going to worship something or someone. And so if we're not worshiping the living God, if we're not feeding on Him, if we're not learning that He is our bread, He's the living bread. He's the one who is the lover of my soul, the one who truly satisfies. Then we're going to fill up on other things, because there are all kinds of opportunities and things being offered to you every day to fill up your time that are distractions from the enemy, to rob you from your eternal inheritance. Jesus said, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Because the things of this world are temporary. I've talked about this before. But sometimes Christians, you know, we're like people approaching a smorgasbord, you know, and we pick and choose what we want. And not necessarily what we need, but what we want. We have a lot of wants, but what we need to determine is what do we really need. Because it's what you need that you need to be eating. And so if you're approaching a banquet or a buffet and you just hang out at the Jell-O dish, you know, and they say you become what you eat. So have another helping of Jell-O. All right. I'm not picking on anybody today. This is about a spiritual principle I'm trying to teach us. Because I'm guilty of filling up on junk food, all right? Let me just get that straight at times. I'm trying hard not to make that a way of life. But there's times when you're just in a hurry and you got to get something. However, when it comes to your spiritual life, which is the real you, this is only a shell that we're feeding, amen, with earthly food. This body is going to pass away anyways. But we've got to be careful that we don't neglect the spirit that's within us. You see, many people feel that if I just go up and have the man of God lay hands on me, that somehow he's going to impart to me maturity. It don't work that way. I'm coming up to get my instant fix. It don't work that way. When we're children, most of the time we're thinking about adult things. We want to be grown up, you know. Even the kids today, you know, they're dressing up way ahead of their time, or what they should be dressing in often. And because they want to be grown up. But there's a time and there's a season for everything, would you agree? And it's got to be in His time. You cannot jump ahead of God's program for your life. Now in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul prays for the Ephesian church in verse 16 that God would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. This is the first thing that he focuses on here, that they would be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. In other words, you've come to maturity. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, in the New Living Translation, it says, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide and how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Paul understood that healthy spiritual life led to maturity and fruitfulness. The first thing that we need to focus on is not the gifts of the Spirit, but our character, our inner life, the real you, your spirit man that was created in Christ, the new you. 1 Timothy 4:8, Paul spoke to Timothy, his son in the Lord, and he said, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So just as people put their bodies through all kinds of discipline so that, you know, they may be physically fit, so we also need to apply this same principle to our spirit man. Now, we know in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, but you shall receive power, dunamis, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, without this power, without this anointing, we have no power or effective power for service. Would you agree? Yes. Is it important that we are anointed of God? Yes. Now, one can possess the anointing. They can have an anointing, but possess a weak and sickly character. You can be anointed of God and yet have a weak and sickly inner life. This is why many are deceived into thinking, because God had used them in some supernatural way, that it was okay for them to live any way they wanted as long as God was still working through their life. Think about Samson. That's what happened to him. God didn't judge Samson right away, but he went on for a season, still operating in the anointing and supernatural power. But his inward life was corrupted. He had a spirit of lust. And so he thought, because he was getting away with it, the day came when he went to shake himself as usual, because they said the Philistines were coming, and he rose to shake himself and to rise up, to arouse himself is what that means. And he did not realize that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. Do you understand how important it is that we protect our hearts? That we maintain a healthy inner spiritual life first. That's foundational. And coupled with that which comes upon you in acts of service and demonstrations of power, you're going to be an effective witness, because you're not going to bring reproach upon the Lord by your bad attitudes or actions or whatever we may do. Are you with me today?
Amen.
I can tell you from personal experience in my own life that there are times when I have failed in my inward life. Has anybody ever done that? Okay, good. I'm in good company here. Is not something that I desire or that I can comfortably do, but there's times when I've allowed my thoughts to wander too far, and the Holy Spirit saying, don't go there. Thank God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God wants a pure bride, a pure people that are sold out for him, that are truly committed to him. We have come into in a commitment, amen, a covenant in his blood. We are married to him. We cannot give ourselves away to other things, to vain things and temporary things, and in the sense that we're chasing after other lovers, things that will cause us to stumble. Without a healthy inner life, we have no ability to endure in our service for the Lord. A warrior needs to have his armor on. Would you agree with me?
Yes.
He needs to understand how to put it on. He needs to know what his instructions are, what he's supposed to be doing. He needs to train for battle. He needs to know how to use his sword. We need to know how to use the word. Are you with me?
Amen.
We need to put on the armor of God, the helmet of salvation. You know that. But a warrior also has to be physically fit to endure battle. It's not enough to put the armor on, folks. There has to be a healthy inner life. That's your character. That's the part that's invisible within us, as you know, that God is developing and strengthening. But let me just say this, that unless you have a hunger for God, you're not going to be about building up your spirit man. You're going to neglect your spirit if there is no hunger for the Lord and for his things. And so we need to learn, how do I develop then a hunger? Has anybody ever asked that question? How do you get hungry? How many realize that when you eat food and you're used to eating McDonald's, let's use McDonald's again, and you just love those Big Macs and fries and shakes and all that stuff. You've been satisfied on that for a long time. And then someone invites you over to their house and they say, hey, we're going to have stir fry tonight. I don't know about you, but when there's a definite shift in what I'm eating, initially, it's kind of like, ugh. Or you might be living a healthy lifestyle. Amen. We've done Daniel fast here, right? And you're eating good food, healthy food, and your body's saying, wow, I like this. It's really doing me some good here. And then you're counting the days until you can get off that fast and go back to McDonald's. And how many have discovered that the first time you took a bite out of that Big Mac or whatever it was, you're like, oh, it tasted like paste. They say the average time frame of developing a habit is about 30 days. So if you go without for maybe 30 days or plus, not in every case, but in some cases, depends on the person, you can actually get used to a good, healthy diet to where you want vegetables, you want fruits, you want good things for your body. And by the way, it's not a bad way to live. We should take care of ourselves. But the emphasis today is not on necessarily your physical body. However, so often we are coming to God for healing because we've neglected our physical body. And I'm not here to pick on anybody, okay? But spiritually, we have to make sure that we are feeding ourselves the right things. Because it has not only promise in this life of the blessings of God, but in the world to come. There is nothing more important than that you and I would be developed into the image of Christ. That Christ will be formed in us. And Christ is formed in us, if you will, because of what you're eating. You are what you... It's a fact, folks. If we don't eat right, you get sick. Maybe not right away. And that's the deceptiveness about this. Spiritually, some people neglect their inner life and they allow their thoughts, they allow their passions, they allow their desires, they allow everything just to go. Because they come to church and they get blessed. Are you with me? The problem with that is that we're not realizing that those things that you're sowing in the spirit realm are going to accumulate. And they're going to hurt you. They will hurt you. If you're watching things you shouldn't be watching, if you're listening to things you shouldn't be listening to, if you're saying things you should not be saying, it will eventually come back and hurt you. It's not worth it. Jude, in chapter 1, is only one chapter, but in verse 20 it says, "Now you, beloved," talking to the church, "building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." What's he talking about? He's talking about developing your spirit man. You and I need to build ourselves spiritually. The reason why many of us are not having victory is we don't take the time to develop our spirit man. We're feeding ourselves everything else, and we're allowing the enemy to distract us away from the things that really matter. And we become weak. If you do not stay in the Word of God, you will become weak. If you don't feed on the Word of God, you will become a spiritual weakling. If you don't worship God, if you don't pray, you will become a spiritual weakling. And if you don't put the Word and worship together, well, there's going to be a balance problem. And I want to talk about that a little bit later on. How do I develop a hunger? First of all, we need to realize that hungers or appetites can be grown. You ever heard the expression, whetting your appetite? What happened this morning? What's happening this morning, even right now, is your appetite is being wet. Because the Word is good. There's got to be some hunger, otherwise you wouldn't be here today. That's good. But there are people that should be here today that are not, because they're not really hungry. And I'm not here to point fingers at anybody. I'm just saying it is a reality. There's people all over this city today that are not where the Word of God is being preached, because there's no hunger. As a matter of fact, they're probably watching the boob tube about right now. And they're filling up on filler food. They're going after cheap counterfeits. They're going after things that are not going to make a difference in eternity. And the enemy is effectively robbing them of their destiny. So we need to develop a hunger for God. Matthew 5 and 6, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." So appetites can be grown. If you keep feeding yourself something, you will develop a hunger for it. How many have discovered there's been times when you know you got to read your Bible, you didn't really feel like it, but you need to do it anyways, and you sat down and you started reading it, and at first it was like a dead letter. It's like, wow, this is pretty rough. But if you keep reading, all of a sudden it begins to leap up off the page, and the Spirit begins to quicken it to you, and it starts to whet your appetite. And how many have ever been taken on a journey by the Holy Spirit because you just started to read the Word? Amen. Yeah. And something got opened up in you, an interest, and He began to show you things, and He began to unveil it to you. He began to develop that truth to you. And as a result, it was feeding your spirit, nourishing your inner man. But hunger as well can be weakened or killed. Now, if you deny yourself something long enough, your desire for it will eventually weaken or die. So just as we can develop hunger for the right things, we can also either weaken or even kill a hunger for what is good. And it has to do with what we occupy ourselves with. What do we think on? What do we speak on? What do we dwell on? Where is my treasure? What do I esteem as the greatest treasure? Am I about temporary living, or am I living for eternity? Well, if you focus on, think on, speak on, dwell on the kingdom, the king, eternal things, then that's going to be your reward. Because whatsoever you sow, that shall you also reap. If you sow to the Holy Spirit, you will of the Holy Spirit reap. So we want to keep sowing, once again, in the Spirit. Let us not become weary, Galatians 6:8, right? In well doing. For in due season. It didn't mean right away. And as you're serving, as you're giving, as you're loving, you may not see any immediate results. But if you're doing the right thing consistently in obedience to the Lord, the day will come, whether it's on this world, in this world, or when you get to heaven, when the Lord's going to reward you. Many who had lived their lives in this world never got noticed by anybody. They lived unto the Lord. They served unto the Lord. They cleaned toilets unto the Lord. I've done it too. But whatever we do, in word or deed, we do all in the name of the Lord. We do it as unto the Lord and not unto men. Because when we're doing unto men, that's going to be your reward. You'll get rewarded. They'll say, attaboy. So whether or not it's nice to be recognized, but whether we get recognized or not, the question is, am I doing this for Jesus? Am I doing this because I love Jesus? And because I love people? If you love Jesus and you love people, you can't say you love and love Jesus and not love people. Okay. When we submit to God, we grow in Him. When we resist Him, we weaken. Now, you know as well as I do that people who are successful in this world are self-disciplined. They've had to deny themselves some wants. Maybe some things that they would rather do, but because they have a vision, they have a goal, they're going somewhere, they have to cast off these weights. They have to say, yeah, it's not a bad thing necessarily, but it's not the right thing for me. I'd like to go out and party with you guys, but right now I got to study. People who are successful are self-disciplined. Athletes that are successful are self-disciplined. They can't be running out and feeding themselves on filler food. Amen? They got to eat right. They got to watch what they're doing, and they got to exercise. So it is spiritually. We need to whet our appetites. We need to stay in His presence. Stay in the Word. Stay in prayer. Stay in worship. Walk in that place as we abide in Him, as we listen for Him, as we do what He shows us to do. Then we're His disciples. And He said, you'll know the truth. And the truth will set you free. And if you do the things I ask you, Jesus said, then you'll ask for what you want and I'll do it for you. If you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, put Him first in everything in your life, in your finances, in your work, in your pleasure, whatever you do, it's all first God. Then He said all these things that you need will be added unto you. But often we're seeking after stuff and things and not Him. Sometimes it plays into ministry. People are seeking after ministries rather than Him. Has anybody ever been there, done that? We can be so preoccupied with the things of God that we lose Him in it. And there's nothing more important. And that our relationship is solid with Jesus, and that we are developing our spirit man through intimacy with God. You know, isn't it true that most of us don't like discipline? We want instant results. That's why, as I mentioned earlier, people come up and they'll go to this, the greatest, latest thing that's happening. And they go to conferences and where the great prophets and the evangelists and the speakers and the wow people are over there. And I go over there because when I go there, I'm going to have them lay hands on me and I'm going to be somebody. Because they laid hands on me. You see, the Lord is in the details of your personal walk, your personal life. The Lord is developing us through the difficulties, through oppositions, through misunderstandings, through personal relational problems, all the things that we experience, the good and the bad and the ugly. It's all being mixed together for good to them that love the Lord. Are you with me?
Yes.
The ones who are called according to His purpose, God works it out for good.
Yes.
We can learn from our failures and our mistakes. They don't have to destroy us. They can be a stepping stone to be successful. And people that are successful, not only do they discipline themselves, but when they make a mistake, they don't stay down. They get back up and get back in the battle.
Amen.
But we've got to have this hunger. Because if you're not hungry, you won't eat. If you don't eat, you will starve. If you starve too long, you will. In John 15, in verse 7, Jesus says, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you." Abide in him, and my words, he said, abide in you. He's talking about the Spirit and the Word together. "You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." So if we don't do these things, folks, we'll be weak. Now, someone once said, maybe you've heard this, if you have the Word only, you will dry up. If you have the Spirit only, you will blow up. Boy, have we seen that. If you put the Word and Spirit together, you will grow up. In Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 20, the prophet was speaking towards the Lord, and he said, "You also gave your good Spirit to instruct them where in the wilderness, the children of Israel in the wilderness." And he says, "And you did not withhold your manna from their mouth, and gave them water for their thirst." Three things is his good Spirit. Second was manna, the bread, and the water. How many know that's all speaking of Jesus? It's all speaking of Christ that was to follow. Israel had to gather manna daily. You have to gather this, and if you do it daily, you'll continue to maintain a hunger for the things of God. If you neglect your spirit life, and the longer you neglect it, the more difficult it will be for you to get back to a place where you have a hunger. Have you ever discovered that? And sometimes it may take a period of time of discipline in my own life for me to get to a place where I once was. That's talked about in Revelation of returning to your first love. Because sometimes we're like a boat that's on a pond. And there's a slight breeze blowing. And if you've ever gone fishing out of a boat, you know, you get really focused on your fishing. And, you know, you're paying attention to what the fish are doing. But you often can forget about what's happening with the boat. And if you don't have your anchor down, the boat begins to drift. Has anybody ever had that happen? And all of a sudden you look up and, man, I'm in the weeds. It happens so subtly. You just begin to drift. Drift away. So it is. If we neglect our spirit life. What I'm trying to do, folks, is I'm trying to encourage us today. Because it has everything to do with not only your personal health and success in the Spirit, amen, and the things of God, but it also has to do with the work of God that we've been given corporately for this city and for the nations, is that we have got to be people of His presence. We've got to be people of the Word. We've got to be people who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. He is our righteousness. And for those who have a hunger and a thirst, they will be filled. But if we're filled up on filler food, if we're filled up on junk, If we're filled up on the world, you won't have a hunger for the things of God. And if you keep eating that stuff and drinking that stuff, eventually you're going to get sick. And God wants a healthy church. Would you say amen?
Amen.
We are in a battle. There is a war raging around us. And this war is for your soul. The devil wants to destroy you and I. We know that. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy this nation. We cannot be passive and defeat the enemy. When you eat, you need to exercise. It's not good to eat and sit and do nothing. Are you with me? Because when we do that, it begins to accumulate and it makes us sick too. When we receive a word from the Lord, it's not just for me, but it's for somebody else. We're in a war and we have been given the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We need to know the word. We need to dwell in the word. We need to speak the word. We need to think the word, because the word needs to be in us. Amen. So that we know how to use our weapon and use it effectively in defeating the enemy, to bless those who curse us, to love those who hate us, to pray for those who despitefully use us and persecute us, to be light where there's darkness, to be hope where there's hopelessness. Amen? To be the salt of the earth. We are warriors. We are called to arouse ourselves as the warriors of God, as His army on the earth, His representatives, to do the works that Jesus did to destroy the works of the devil. And we cannot do that if we're not fit. If we don't build up our spirit man and guard our hearts and our characters. Amen? Not only do we need the armor, amen, the anointing and the sword of the Spirit, but we need to have our spirit developed and strengthened. And that's Paul's prayer, that you may be strengthened with might in the inner man by His Spirit, so that we may grow up and be mature and become a mighty force in the earth to displace the enemies of God. Amen? To drive them out.
Amen.
And you can't take a city until you take yourself. So may the Lord grant each one of us a greater hunger and a thirst for Him who truly satisfies, that my life may be filled with Jesus. My life may be filled with all the fullness of Jesus. Amen. That my life will have righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's life abundantly. Joel chapter 3 verse 9, proclaim this among the nations, prepare for war, wake up the mighty men, let all the nations, men of war, draw near, let them come up, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears, let the weak say, I am strong. Sometimes you got to tell yourself that. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Isaiah 60, amen, 1 and 2. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. So, what are we talking about today? We're talking about developing a hunger for God, building up your spirit man, praying in the Holy Spirit, amen, sowing in the Holy Spirit, abiding in the Lord, in His Word, obeying His voice, because strength of character does not happen instantaneously. It's not going to come because you got prayed for. Amen. It's going to be because you cooperated with the Holy Spirit in the work in your own life. You must develop your spirit by abiding in the vine. And it begins with a hunger for God. Happy. Extremely blessed. Hallelujah. Extremely blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You know what I'm saying today? If we just come here and you get your dose on Sunday and you try to ride out on that, man, you're about halfway through Monday, you're probably going to putter out. You got to start feeding your spirit every day. Develop a hunger and a thirst. Whet your appetite for the things that truly satisfy. Amen?
Amen.
For Him that we might know him, that we may love him, that we might serve him, that we might please him.